Let's turn again to the God's word that we read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, and read again at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, from verse 35 to the end of the chapter. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? In this miracle in which the Lord stills the waves, we see his power over the elements. He is the Lord of all creation. And by exercising power over the wind and the waves, the faith of his disciples is strengthened. Do you have faith? Well, the Lord will test your faith in order to strengthen it. Perhaps you don't know whether you have faith, but you do know what it is to be full of anxiety. Well, Christ is able to calm your tumultuous fears. And to everyone who comes to him, he can say to the troubled heart, Peace, be still. And with the Lord's help, we want to consider, first of all, this evening, the troubled disciples. And their trouble was reflected by the billowing waves. The troubled disciples. In the second place, the triumphant Savior, the one who rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Peace, be still. The triumphant Savior. In the third place, the trial and strengthening of faith. They feared exceedingly after the Savior stilled the waters. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So these three points this evening, the troubled disciples, the triumphant Savior, and the trial and strengthening of faith. First, the troubled disciples reflected by the tossing of the waves. The Lord had been teaching the people all day, and he was using parables to explain the kingdom of God. He had been in the boat and while he was teaching them, and the people were on the shore listening. But when he finished, he ordered that the ship depart to the other side. So they dismissed the crowds, and they departed then and there, without any preparation, without so much as getting off the boat for a few more victuals. They left even as he was in the ship. And there were other ships, probably with passengers who wanted to accompany him to the other side. And during the progress of their journey by the sea, there arose a great wind that blew. In Matthew's Gospel, we read chapter 8 and verse 24, And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. And that word tempest is also translated earthquake. It was a shaking. And the whole Lake of Galilee was literally a sea of commotion. And the geography of the place is such that this situation is not unusual even today. Sudden great windstorms appear on the Sea of Galilee, and these take place during the evening hours. The warm tropical air from the lake surfaces rises and meets the colder air from the surrounding hills. And then the resulting turbulence stirs up great waves, which make boating extremely perilous. Well, we read, verse 37, that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The waves were filling the ship very fast. The water was filling the boat. And the disciples were filled with fear. And they go to their master. He was sleeping, but they awake him and cry in earnestness, as we read in the Gospel according to Luke, "Master, Master." They were panicking, and they were feeling that they were in great danger, in danger for their very lives. But think about that. Here they were, experienced fishermen, and they had seen many rough days on the water. So they must have really been in imminent danger. Have you ever been in this condition? Perhaps almost panic-stricken, going through a tumultuous situation. But if you are a child of God, you didn't give in to total despair. You went to Christ. And that is where the disciples went. Because while we ourselves agonize over the waves, Christ triumphs over them. And so that's the second point, the triumphant Savior. The disciples are full of fear. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" But the Lord Jesus is the triumphant Savior. And we read that he was asleep on a pillow. Well, he had been working hard all day, preaching to the crowds, and at last he has a respite, and he has retired to the stern of the boat, and he is sleeping soundly. He slept peacefully because his trust was in his Father. He trusted in God, and even the noise of the wind and the waves to rock the boat could not awaken him. But what the waves could not do, the cry of his dear disciples did. And they awakened him, because the cry of the destitute he surely will regard. We read in Psalm 78, verse 65, "Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep." And that was to take care of his disciples. And we read that he rebuked the wind and the raging of the sea. "Peace, be still." The word peace literally is silence or hush. And the second word, "be still," is literally "be muzzled," as if you were to muzzle a growling dog, put the muzzle on him. Well, that's what happened with the wind and the waves. They were hushed, they were muzzled, they were stopped. The gales vanished, the wind ceased, and so did the waves. Well, we all know that it's the wind that stirs up the waves. And normally after the wind has died down, the water is still rocking back and forth. So here is a miracle. Not only did the wind stop, but the water itself calmed and ceased to move. It was a miracle, but it was also an opportunity to learn. And the Lord Jesus admonishes his disciples. And that brings us to consider in the third place, the trial and strengthening of faith. The trial and strengthening of faith. The Lord Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" How is it that ye have no faith? Their faith was next to none, or it was not in exercise. They did have faith, but it was, as it were, like a mustard seed. It was small. We know that they had faith because they came to Christ. And they awaken him. They go to him. They're looking to him for help. But they had little faith. As Matthew, his gospel has it, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? But again, their faith was not an exercise as it should be. And so the Lord asks them, as we have it in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, where is your faith? You have faith. You are God's children. But where is your faith? We don't see it coming into operation as we should. It's not being exercised as it ought. Where is your faith? Well, we see that within the disciples there was a mix of faith and unbelief. Unbelief was there. And yes, it is true that there is a natural apprehension when we are in danger. But there was unbelief in the fear of the disciples. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not care that we're perishing? As if they were almost chiding the Savior. It was like unbelief had almost made them forget their place, who they were, and to whom they were speaking, to the Master, to the Savior. And they were liable to limit the Holy One. They were not crediting the power of Christ as they should. Remember, the Savior asked the blind men, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Did they really believe that they would be cared for while Christ was with them in the boat? Why should they fear? Verse 40, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful?" Why should you be? Why should you be full of anxiety when Christ is there in the boat with you? There was no valid reason. We should ask ourselves, why should we be full of fears, tumultuous thoughts, when Christ is with us all along? Of course he cares. He cares for his dear children. So what keeps his dear children from trusting in him? What keeps his dear children from going to him in every time of need? Is it their sin? Did the Lord Jesus not come to die on the cross for sinners? There is no excuse for sin. We shouldn't think to ourselves, well, Jesus died for our sins, so why should sin be a problem to us? No, that's going the wrong direction. But having sinned and being sinful, is the Lord Jesus not a Savior from sin, a Savior for sinners, the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness? No, our sin should not keep us back from the Savior. Our sin should not keep us from trusting in him for help. Our sin is the very reason to go to him, because his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we should go to him confessing our sins and pleading the promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So go to the blood of Christ. Go to the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Go to the one who was crucified. Because if we allow guilt to remain on our consciences, then we will sink more and more into unbelief and distrust. So in every situation, whatever our condition, it is our duty and privilege to go to Jesus immediately, just like the disciples did eventually. Perhaps they thought, we'll wait and try and row as hard as we can, but they should have gone to Christ immediately. Well, we need to remember that in order to eliminate doubts and fears, we need faith, but we also need strong faith. They had faith, but there was unbelief present. The Savior says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith, O ye of little faith? Where is your faith?" They had faith, but it was small. What is the lesson? We need enlarged faith, stronger faith. And it is true that faith dispels fears, but it is only in proportion to the strength of faith. So the stronger the faith, the less fear. And that is why the Lord tests His people. He tries them in order to increase their faith. And this storm there on the Lake of Galilee, it was in the hand of the Lord Jesus as an instrument to increase the faith of His disciples. The wind and the waves were trying their faith. They came to Jesus, and because they witnessed the Lord stilling the waves, they were established in their faith. Their trust, their faith in Christ was confirmed, and they were in amazement that the wind and the sea were actually obeying Him. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" In Matthew's Gospel, we read that the men marveled. They were in amazement. Here in our own chapter, it is they feared exceedingly. Well, Luke's Gospel combines both fear and amazement. He said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered. They, being afraid, wondered. There was fear and amazement, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey Him." Well, they were beginning to see, no doubt, more of the divinity of Christ. He is God. And they would have been very acquainted, no doubt, with the Psalms, and particularly Psalm 89 and verse 7. "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee?" So here is the psalmist is speaking to the Lord, that is Jehovah, who is like Thee. And then he says, "Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them." And He who is Jehovah was the one who was present with them in the boat and stilled the tempest of the sea. Here is Jehovah present with His disciples, with His people, and how they marveled at His power. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. He controls everything. He has power, not only over sickness, not only over demons, but over the very elements. And here is the proof that He is divine. He is God. Remember, the miracles attest the divine commission of Christ. And the faith of the disciples is confirmed. The trial of their faith increases their faith. Just like the children of Israel, when they had escaped Egyptian bondage, and they were led right up to the very waters of the Red Sea. Where are they going to go now? The Egyptians are closing in upon them, the mountains surrounding them, the Red Sea before them. They're crying to Moses, they're giving in to unbelief. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt in the first place? We should have just stayed there. But why did we come out here just to die at the hand of the Egyptians?" Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And after the sea has parted and there's a wall on the right hand and on the left, and they pass through as on dry land, the Egyptians follow them, and the Israelites make it to the other side. But it's then when the water closes in upon them, the Egyptians are drowned, And we read in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 31, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Just like the disciples there on the Sea of Galilee, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, we have very briefly looked at this account of the Sea of Galilee full of commotion, which was indicating the disciples' anxiety, the troubled disciples, and then the triumphant Savior having power over the elements and the trial and strengthening of faith. And now I'd like to say a word or two to the unconverted. We remind you that there is a storm on a particular lake that will never be calmed. It is a sea of commotion that will never be still. And it is the storm of God's fierce wrath in the burning lake. And Christ will not be there to comfort anyone in hell. A couple of cool drops of water will not be given to any parched tongue. And even now, friend, while you are under God's wrath and curse, not converted, in danger of perishing in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, even now you have no real comfort. I hope you have hope, but as far as comfort is concerned, that's for the children of God. The only comfort you have is that which the world grasps. Oh, it will be better tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. There will be a brighter day in the future. What kind of comfort is that? Oh, you'll get through it. Oh, really? Haven't some told themselves they would get better when everything just got worse? And eventually they went to hell. And the reason they went to hell was because they didn't come to Christ. They didn't come to Christ. Oh, friend, let that not be said of you. Come to the one who stilled this lake. Come to the one who is presented in the gospel, the precious Savior whose love and grace appear so wondrously. You've heard about him again and again. But don't let it be said of you that this one did not come to Jesus and the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Come to him. Come now and let us reason together. Come now while there is time. Come, don't harden yourself and think you can come later. Come now. Behold, now, tonight, on Wednesday. Don't say I'll put it off till Sabbath. You've said that again and again. Come now. Go home to your bedside and pray. Maybe you have to skip reading that magazine article, whatever it is. Come to Jesus before it's too late. And he will still the waves of God's wrath. And he will turn away the wrath of God from you because of his willingness to endure the wrath of God for sinners. But are you trusting in the Lord? Are you one of his dear children? Well, friends, let us be warned about hard thoughts of God. Do not question his care for those who trust in him. When you're going through trying circumstances, Satan will tempt you to think that God doesn't care for you anymore. He doesn't favor you. But do not question God's care. Do not question His willingness. Do not question His power. Believe that He is able. Believe that He is willing. Think on all the occasions in which His power and His love were evident. And let faith rest on Him and His attributes of omnipotence, of goodness, and love. So when you're full of anxiety, recognize His power to still the waves of tempestuous fears, and go to Him for that mental stability that we all need. The Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He can say, "Peace, be still," and in a moment all will be calm. The storm is changed into a calm at His command and will, so that the waves which raged before now quiet are and still. There may be outward waves of circumstances, and they may rage just as before, but the inward calm will more than compensate for all the outward trouble that you go through. Blessed be His name. He is more than able to convey peace to the troubled soul. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" May He bless His word. Let us pray.